Welcome to the Practical Defense Quick Tip of the Week. I'm your host, Alex Addix. Quick tips are small things, little habits, which will hopefully help keep you a little safer. This week, we're going to peer into a dark place, and it will make some people uncomfortable. We're going to consider what we don't know about the people that we work with. I've touched upon this topic many times in parts of other episodes, so some of what I'm going to bring up might sound familiar. You know what? It all boils down to this. You do not know the people you work with. I understand that in many ways this doesn't make sense. You spend 8 to 10 hours a day working with these people. You eat lunch with them. You attend meetings with them. You spend hours with them. The hard truth is, however, that you really do not know them. People put on different faces at the office. They have their work personalities and friends, and then they have their after-work personality, friends, and family. And the two can be very different. I'm the perfect example here. At the office, I'm in my monkey suit. I write and teach about computer technology and biotechnology. I lead projects, give presentations, interview, hire, fire employees, teach classes, develop lesson plans, and so on and so forth. I'm an outside contractor brought into a department or company for a specific project. I can work with any team for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, and in some cases, several years. For example, I've contracted with a biotech company off and on for nearly a decade now. So within that huge company, I can't count the number of different departments and projects I've worked with. You know, at this point, I have more experience with a company than most of the people that hire me to work on their projects. Of the hundreds of people I've worked with at that company, how many really know me for who I am and what I do? Two. I have two personal friendships that I maintain with people that I met at that company. Two people know about my extracurricular activities, my training, and my hobbies. Two people have been to my home, met my family and kids. Now don't get me wrong, I have plenty of friends at the office. But they're office friends, not close personal friends. I don't share with my office friends in the same way that I share with my personal friends. No one does. And that is the point I'm trying to make. Unless you have been to this person's home and sees how he or she lives, met his family, hung out with them in a non-work environment, you really don't know anything about this person. All you know is the work version, the work persona, not the real person. And again, I'll use myself as an example. Listeners to this podcast know more about the real me than the people that have met me in person and sit next to me in a conference room at the office. I met my wife at work, you know, many decades ago. Even she says that I'm very different at the office versus the home. I'm still me, just a different version of me. I'm much more conservative and controlled at the office, whereas at home, I just let it all hang out. What I consider fun, interesting, and part of my lifestyle would scare most people at work. Let me put it into this perspective. I practice martial arts, which means I practice beating people up on a weekly basis. I hit, kick, and wrestle on the ground with other grown men. I also practice and teach defensive firearms. This means I practice moving and shooting other people, and I teach others how to do it. Then I practice and teach knife defense. You know, that means I practice moving around and stabbing other people. And then I teach other people how to do it too. Oh, and then I spend more spare time reading police reports on crime, criminal behavior, terrorist attacks, and the psychology and motives behind them. I also spend my time researching and developing tactics to help defend against those types of attacks from a personal and family perspective. Then to top it off, I host a weekly internet show, write a column for an international magazine, and I'm writing books on those same subjects. The icing is that I also hunt wild boar and birds for fun. So I like to go out into the wilderness, shoot animals, skin them, gut them with my bare hands, and then eat them like a Neanderthal. So who am I? I'm a freaking human resources nightmare, is who I am. Well, that is unless you want to hire me to teach those subjects, in which case I'm the perfect guy for the job. But that's a whole other discussion on sheep versus sheepdogs. The upside is that I'm a good guy. I'm one of the level-headed protectors. However, I keep my personal life to myself because I am fully aware that my alter ego can freak people out. If you freak people out at work, you're probably not going to have much work. The thing is, if you really knew me, my background, and my upbringing, it would make total sense, and it would be easy to understand why a completely normal and well-adjusted non-law enforcement person would want to do all that stuff. But 99.9% of the people in the office don't know me. So based upon my example, do you really know the person sitting in the cube next to you? Do you really know the person sitting across the conference table? The answer is no, and that is the risk that we need to be aware of. This is all part of understanding workplace violence. We have no idea what is really going on at home and in the minds of our coworkers. There could be violence, spousal abuse, child abuse, drug addiction, or pressures for crime all weighing down on this person next to us. People will hide these things out of fear of losing their job, shame, embarrassment, or any other number of reasons. Everyone listening to this episode probably works with a functioning alcoholic or drug addict and doesn't know it. They will tell lies and tell stories to hide these facts. They will even manufacture a complete life to share with others at work that may have no grounding in reality. Just because someone you know and like tells you something doesn't mean that it's the truth. They may not want to hurt or lie to you, but they are just too embarrassed to share the truth. And in most cases, there's no malicious intent. The risk is when someone snaps. With all of the hidden pressures some people are under, something innocent may trigger an explosive reaction. A passing comment in the hall, a performance critique on a project, a reprimand for missing a minor deadline can unleash something much deeper. Most of the reactions are going to be verbal, and that's because most people are not violent by nature. But when we deal with emotions, anything can happen. The greatest risk is during disciplinary actions and performance appraisals. It can get really intense when you start messing with people's financial stability. It is still far too common for people to return to the workplace after being fired to attack his or her boss, set fire to the building, or inflict some sort of retribution. The other risk is more common than people realize. And this is when trouble from home shows up at work. This is most often seen in the form of an abusive spouse coming to the workplace to inflict harm on the employee. Sometimes the spouse shows up to confront a workplace romance, and the romance may not even be real. So, returning to our main point, you do not really know the people you spend one-third of your day with. You may think you do, but the reality is that you do not. You must understand this and be aware of it. Keep this in the back of your mind when you find yourself in a potential confrontation with a coworker. If you work in human resources or have direct reports, it should always be a consideration. So, whether you're in an executive, a supervisor, a human resources manager, or a worker bee, never enter into a contentious situation with any coworker without a means of escape. Wow, that really went longer than I expected. It started off as a quick tip and ended more like a full episode. But that will do it for this week. You can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. For those of you with a mobile phone app for the show, from now on, I will include a PDF summary and the show notes in the feed. You'll be able to find it in the bonus content section. I also have a quick announcement of the final dates for my seminars. I'll be running a Kubaton seminar on Saturday, July 23rd, and then I'll be running a knife survival seminar on Saturday, September 24th. Check in for both of these seminars is at 1:45 p.m., and the training lasts until 4 p.m. You can find the details on my website. That's alexhaddix.com. And on much shorter notice, Huron Gracie is coming to our studio and running a free Gracie Combative seminar on Wednesday, June 22nd from 6 until 7:30 p.m. There's also an advanced seminar from 7:30 to 9 p.m. that costs $25. And finally, if you want to help out the show, a positive review on iTunes would be greatly appreciated, and I have a big thank you to the folks who already have. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on the show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddicts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddicts.com. That's podcast@alexaddicts.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddicts.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.